First of all, this week's Parshas, Parshas Vayeshev. I want to discuss the following mitzvah. Mitzvah Kuf Peches 188. It's the mitzvah of Shelo Lehit'aden Be'achat Mikol Ha'arayot. That you're not supposed to derive benefit from any of the arayos. Shelo Lehit'aden Be'achat Mikol Ha'arayot. You're not supposed to derive benefit from any of the arayos. So when the Sefer HaChinuch describes what exactly this mitzvah refers to, this is the first mitzvah in the whole. It's from Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim delineates many different types of people you're not allowed to sleep
with. It's from Acharemos or Kedoshim? Acharemos. The Parshas is involved. The Parshas arises, comes up in this.
Okay.
What is possible?
The pasuk says, not only are you not allowed to have illicit relations with these specific women, whether it's a karo, whether it's an isha sish, whether it's a nida, but you're not even able to come close to having relations with them.
Shomer.
So the Sefer HaChinuch says, what does this include? Vafilu bilobia. Kigon, chibuk, hugging, benishuk, and kissing. V'chol hadom le'elu hapu'ulos haro'os. Shema amikin bahen ba'ale azima ahol ma'achrei ha'hevel yavalish. The Seder Gomor.
D'oraisa.
Exactly. A lot of people know that. It's a d'oraisa, so you're not allowed to
Effie, you're good though.
Do things that are even close to a rice. So not a, like you said, one of them would be touching a girl in Seder Gomor. Fine. So first of all, let's just talk about this. Is this Muskom Medivri HaKol? The answer is no. According to the Rambam, and the Sefer HaChinuch goes usually with the Rambam,
it's a little tussle.
They both say that it's a mitzvah sasei midoraisa. Not
sasei?
Mitzvah lo sasei midoraisa. That you're not supposed to.
What is the Rambam?
This is the Rambam.
Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch both say that the mitzvah in the Torah, midoraisa, that you're not allowed to kiss a girl, you're not allowed to hug a girl, you're not allowed to touch a girl, because again, lo sikrevu legal. So right now, I would do something that's even close to violating the prohibition of giloy arayos. The Ramban, however, says no. Lo sikrevu is an asmachta ba'alma. It's only a derabanan, and there's only an asa derabanan. Let's say to touch a girl. He just says that the truth is the way the Ramban. That's what most people say the Ramban is. The Ramban inside, when he comments on the Rambam's mitzvah and Sefer HaMitzvos, his asagos, that's one option. It says it's only Midir Rabbanan. He also gives another option that says it's just simply not a separate mitzvah than all the other arayos. It's just a toned down version of the arayos. Meaning included within, let's say, you're not allowed to sleep with an Ashes Ish, you're also not a touch the Ashes Ish. It's only one mitzvah, and he says it's Begeder Chetzishir. But the more famous way people like present the Rabban, that it's merely an Isser Midir Rabbanan. Beseder Gamor. For now, we have to discuss what type of mitzvah, what type of Isser is this? Meaning, why does the Torah ask you touching a girl? So the Torah,
it's a siag d'oraisa.
So as Rav Asher points out, as we've pointed out many times already in Rav Asher Shrine, last year, there's something called the siag d'oraisa. Rav Yosef Engel and Lekach Tov Kval Ches discusses this at length. A siag d'oraisa is where we have an example that the Torah tells you to do. Usually we have siags that are derabanans. We tell you that you're not allowed to do something lest you come to violate. A good example is you're not allowed to eat chicken and milk because you might come to eat meat and milk. That's an example of a siyag derabanan. The rabbanans place restrictions on us so as to deter us from violating Yisurah d'oraisa. The interesting thing is that the Torah itself sometimes does this. The Torah itself sometimes imposes limitations on us to try to stop us from doing other aviros min haTorah. I'll give you guys some examples of this. Number one, bishul basar b'chalav. The Torah says you're not allowed to be mevashar basar b'chalav because you might come to eat basar b'chalav. Another example is bal yira'u bal yamatzeh. You're not allowed to own chametz in your house on Pesach. Again, the Torah doesn't want you to eat chametz on Pesach. If you own chametz on Pesach, you might come to eat it. Another one is a pestle. You're not supposed to make sculpted images, even if it's not for Avodah Zarah. Why? Again, because you might come to violate Avodah Zarah. And the most famous one that the Rabban likes to talk about is Achilas Gefen, the Nazir. A Nazir is an Isser Midoraisa for him to eat anything associated with the grape vine, the grape itself. But again, why? Because a Nazir
may come to drink wine.
Because he may come to drink wine. And again, so you have an Isser Midoraisa that's Begeder, almost a Gzera or a Siyag. Fine. Now to talk a little bit more general, what is the shorish of the mitzvah behind all of the Azaras? Why does the Torah impose so many limitations on who a person is able to sleep? So the Rambam in Mor Devuchim is discussing, let's say, why you're not able to sleep with one's relatives. Why is there necessary to sleep with one's krovim? So the Rambam says over there, because krovim are always near you. And the Rambam says that there's this concept that the Torah wants to minimize sexual relations as much as possible. It's not a healthy thing to be doing all the time. And since you're always around your relatives, if it was permitted, then you'd be doing it all the time. And the Rambam wanted, and Mor Devuchim explains, that the purpose, that the truth is that you're supposed to, it's not something good. You shouldn't be engaging in this type of behavior all the time. Therefore, you're supposed to do it as little as possible, and that's the shorish of the mitzvah. The Ramban, whoever says, I don't like this part of the Rambam. Why? Because on a Doraisa level, you can marry as many women as you want. So you see that the Torah itself doesn't really impose limitations on.
Is it on maybe on an individual woman? You should not supposed to have with her as much. Could it be on one individual?
That could be a possible explanation of the Rambam. So the Ramban, whoever says, what is the explanation? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask for certain arayos? And the answer that Ramban gives says, well, first he gives some Kabbalistic answer, but then he also says, additionally, he says, it's a chok. Really sure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's also to sleep with this and this woman, so therefore you're not able to do so. End of story. Fine. Just an interesting shot that the Sefer HaChinuch points out. The Torah calls a lot of these arayos to'evot. Be'esachor lo sishkab mishkevei isha to'evahi. You're not allowed to sleep with a man because it's a toeva. Toeva means an abomination in English. What does toeva mean? What does that mean? It's disgusting to God. So the Sefer HaChinuch, I think, puts it in a very, very nice way. It says the following, I'll quote it to you. Ose osan, somebody who does something that the Torah describes it as a toeva, marchik atzmo es atzmo, minatova v'meisir mi'alav hashkakas Hashem baruch. He distances himself from the good and he removes himself from Hashkafa Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning that all these things that the Torah says that they're to'evos, that they're abominable to Hashem, when you do them, you're essentially distancing yourself from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that's obviously something that we want to stay far away from. So now, to get into some of the details, we say that it's aser, a lot of people are very aware of this phrase known as derech chiba. Right, you've heard that? Derech chiba, in a loving manner. So what is the machlokas? So the Rambam in Hilchos Isurei Bia and Perech Chaf Aleph, when he's describing that you're not allowed to kiss a woman, you're not allowed to touch a woman inappropriately, he uses the lashon of, you're not allowed to do it derech chiba, in a sexual manner. So I'm just going to go through some of the shitos of the Achronim of what they hold with regards to derech chiba. So the Yoredea, in Yoredea, Simon Kuf Tzadihei, the Shach Kuf Tzadihei, the Shach says, based on this Rambam, that if one touches a woman, but he doesn't do so with derech chiba, let's say he just touching her to get her attention, but not doing it in a way, in a flirtatious way or something, he says, that's not even Asur Midarabanan, it's Mutter Legamri. That is the Shita of the Shach. That's really the Shita that we go with, Halach L'maisa. The Otzer, sorry, the Stei Chemer, the Otzer Haposkin, Chosh Gimel, says that in a Hanami, it's not Asur on a total level to touch a girl, according to the Rambam, Shelo Derech Chiba, but it's nevertheless Asur Midarabanan. And the Beis Shmuel, who's a commentary in Eben Ezer, says that even according to the Rambam, even if it's not Derech Chiba, it's Asur Midaraisa. Fine, so those are the three shitas. Either it's Asur Midaraisa fully, or it's Asur Midarabanan, or if it's not Shelo Derech Chiba, if it's not Derech Chiba, it's Motu Legamri, it's not even Asur Midarabanan. Fine. So some of the ramifications that come out of this discussion, let's ask a number of questions. The first question that comes up is, let's say you're sitting on a bus, subway. Subway's crazy, crazy packed after work. You're gonna end up touching the girl, you know, 100%. Plane, we'll get to that also. The truth, I didn't really get so much from the plane question because there's a lot to talk about over there. And she slept on you? So this is the question. Are you
I didn't know what to do.
Oh, man.
So are you able to take a bus ride or a subway ride if you know that you're going to end up touching a girl? Meaning, if this is an Issa D'Oraisa, you can't. Of course you can. So Rav Moshe Negros Moshe Evna Ezer Chelik Beis Simon Yerdalet talks about this, and he says that it's mutter. You're allowed to drive this. You're allowed to take a ride in the subway,
even
in Evna Ezer Chelik Beis Simon Yerdalet. Rav Moshe says it's totally mutter. Totally mutter to do this. However, Rav Moshe does say that if you're the type of guy that you derive benefit, you're nene from punching all these women while you're on the subway, then it's also for you to do it and you can't do it. Rav Moshe riffs on this type of guy a little bit, and he says, you're a little bit messed up. And I'll quote you what he says, and I think it's a very true, meaning, you say they're priests, but like Lamaisa, I don't know how far it is from a lot of people. Like, it's not, you don't have to be like a sick of
to be like this, and to be getting on off from a girl.
Some guy, I don't think it's crazy, but it's.
That
person
should be
inside. It's not that crazy in the world we live in.
Yeah, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world we live in. So Moshe over there says, and he says like this: what a person like this, first of all, if a person derives benefit from that, he shouldn't go on the bus, he shouldn't go on the subway. Then he says the following: he says, quote unquote, no, I'm sorry, quote, Mitzarech la. Mitzarech lasilk batorah ubimelacha v'lo yekach. So it says the Eitzah is, if you're this type of guy, you should learn Torah, and you should also be Osek b'malacha, and then you wouldn't be this type. What does Rav Moshe mean?
So you're an Ishbat, you're an other Batil, if this is what happens.
So Rav Moshe is quoting Gemara Ksubis, a Dafna Tes, I think it's a Mishnah actually, that says, Shiyamo mevi lidei zima. That boredom leads a person to promiscuity. That essentially when you're bored and you're not doing anything, you end up doing inappropriate things. And that's why Rav Moshe says, not only are you supposed to be Osek Batorah, not only should you learn more Torah, I once heard this from Rav Shechter when I was on Kola, Rav Shechter quoted this also. He said a lot of people, sometimes learning Torah all day for them doesn't do it. And they end up doing Averos. It's a very simple way to put it. If you're bored, you end up doing Averos. So that's what Rav Shechter says. Some people, if you're in Torah for them all day, doesn't do it. You have to go out, you have to get a job, you have to be Osek B'Malacha. You have to always be doing something, because if not, as we see, as the Gemara says, Shiyamun, maybe Lidei Zima, could lead to unhealthy things. The next question that's very famous is handshakes. You gotta give a girl a handshake. So Rav Moshe has a couple truths about this. One of them he says it's usher. One of them he also says like it's really, really not a good idea to do it. So Rav Moshe was very against this, against the handshakes. I heard quoted by Shem Rav Salvechik that if the woman stretches her hand out first, you're able to return and shake her hand as well. Rav Willig is quoted as saying that you should give them the dead fish. Everybody knows what the dead fish is. Exactly. So whatever, that's another discussion. You could actually talk to probably maybe one of the more qualified people to answer this type of question is Rav Ari Wasserman. Rav Ari Wasserman, I believe, has a sefer about halacha in the workplace.
Making it work.
So I'm just giving a plug for Rav Ari Wasserman.
I remember coming out to doing the dead fish when I was in high school. Kathleen Rice spoke in DRS, and she shook out her head and he dead fished her.
Wow. That's a good stat. But now just a few more dinim before we finish off. What else is included in this issue? So we already mentioned touching. Another thing that Sefer HaChinuch mentions is winking or motioning in a flirtatious manner. Another thing is just flirting in general.
Yasser's flirting?
Huh?
Yasser's flirting?
Yep. Another what? Another issue is histaklus. Right, the famous command that says even if you're staring at a girl's pinky and it gets you going, asur midaraisa. There is an fine. Another thing is
kol, pinky,
another thing is kol isha, and the last thing is
sayer. Then if he's going kol isha, sayer bisha, more goes to a lot of things.
Absolutely, sayer bisha. Another interesting thing that I never knew was lehistakel bibgadeha. You're not allowed to look at a woman's clothes if you know that the woman is going to be wearing those clothes. So you look at the clothing.
What?
Meaning, again, it's not going to just mean to see the clothing. You need to like look at them and like derive benefit from them, to gaze upon them. Fine. Another interesting thing that I just didn't hit me that like it's the same sugya is a lot of these halachos are shaykh not only to other women but even shaykh to your wife when she's an idah. When she's in need of, she's bechal erva. So the Sefer HaChinuch actually says that since you're going to be able to touch your wife beheter soon after, it's not all these things are not usher. The only thing that would be usher is to gaze at your wife b'makom mechusim, meaning the parts of your wife that are usually covered, the private areas of your wife, you're not supposed to stare at those areas when she is in need of. Fine.
problem is, if you take this, then it gets problematic, and Moshe addresses this issue. Because now you might think, okay, let's say your wife walks around the house in shorts and a t-shirt, and she's comfortable like that. So now when she's in either, you're not like, see her? You have to tell her to wear, you know, like long clothing. So Moshe says, no, that's not pshat. Pshat is that you're not able to look at your wife. And makom mechusim are described not as makom mechusim when she's outside, not the places that are usually covered when she's outside, but the places that are normally covered when she's in the house. So if she walks around the house in shorts and a t-shirt, you can see her when she's in shorts and a t-shirt, even when she's uneasy. Fine. Sheila Shalom, the Gemara says they're not supposed to ask, like, your friend, like, yeah, how's your wife doing? Whatever, there's a discussion about that. The truth is, there's a discussion in the Beni Hodiyada and Kedushin Daf Ayin, the Ben Ish Chai, who talks about that nowadays there's certain times that really you should be asking, how's your wife doing? That's what I want to end off. And I'm going to just end off again on the last note, the Asher Shrier special, a little vault. Why am I discussing this with Chai? I never even talked about it. Why am I discussing this in this week's Parsha?
Ishes
Potiphar comes at Yosef and she tries getting him.
Ishes Potiphar comes on him.
She comes on hard, she comes on heavy. And Yosef HaTzadik is able to withstand it, and he's able to defy the Yitzhahara, a very, very beautiful thing. Ayin Chaburus Yosef HaTzadik, or Moshe Weinberger, has a lot to talk about based on Yosef HaTzadik.
Moshe Weinberger was inspired by
Yosef HaTzadik. It could be. So, I once heard a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful vart from Rav David Willig on this week's Parsha. I remember where I was.
That's
I was
the brother of the singer.
It's the great
Rav Mordechai Willig is his brother.
Singer so, is his son Avram. Is Rav Mordechai's son Avram.
So, Rav David Willig, I remember I was actually in the army. It was a Friday, and he called me. I don't know why I remember this, but I don't know. It stuck with me for a while. And the vort goes as follows. The pasuk says Potiphar says coming after Yosef HaTzadik, and he's able to break away from her and run out. Rashi over there says that she was coming after him, and he saw in his mind the Yukno, the Yaakov Avinu. He saw the image of Yaakov Avinu. And after he saw the image of Yaakov Avinu, I mean, he was about to sin with Ishes Potiphar. He saw the image of Yaakov Avinu, and then he ran away. Hushup shot over there. What that means is that, I mean, if you see the father when you're about to do an avera, you're not going to do the avera. That's a hushup shot, which is a nice part. It's a nice shot. But Rav Willig, I thought, said something very insightful. He quoted a Sfarno, if I remember correctly. I checked, I couldn't find the Sfarno. Now I kind of think of it. Maybe I mixed it up. Maybe it wasn't a Sfarno. Whatever. We'll quote the following. He said like this. Shot is that he saw Diukno. He saw his own image, Shel Yaakov Avinu. He saw the image of himself that Yaakov Avinu had of him. Yaakov Avinu always had expectations of his son. He saw Yaakov Avinu becoming something. He always had tremendous expectations. He always thought that his son Yosef HaTzadik, his beautiful son, would end up becoming a great, great person. And therefore, at the moment right before the sin with Ishes Potiphar, all of a sudden Yaakov is reminded, wait a second, I'm expected to be a great person. My father has such high hopes for me. He had such confidence in me that I'd become a great son. And that is what stopped Yosef from sinning. Because when you have the mindset and you have people who are supporting you and you have people who are expecting great things of you, you're not gonna end up falling and doing averos that aren't matim to what that person is expecting. So I think it's just a very important message. Number one, to surround yourself with people that think highly of you, to surround yourself by people that support you and that have high expectations of you. But more than that, is to always keep that on your mind. And to always remember, even when you're, let's say you're about to do an aver and you're about to mess up, you have to think to yourself, what would my Rebbe think? What would my parents think? What would my friends think of me if they knew what I was about to do? And if you keep that in your mind, it would be a great Yitzah to overcome the Yitzah Hara and do many more mitzvos. Shabbat Shalom. And Hanukkah Sameach.